Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, just for those who may not have heard of it, could you tell us a little bit about what the gig economy actually is?
Oh, we're using the word gig in the same way as a music gig, just listening to your music there. Often musicians go off and do a one-off a job, just one-off for one lot of pay, no long-term engagement necessarily, though they will have relationships that might mean they get further work. And the gig economy describes the workers who are working like that now, the people who just do one job at a time when it comes up and with no guarantee of anything in the future, but plenty of hope that there'll be new assignments.
And so what are some of the laws that surround working in the gig economy at the moment?
Well, look, at the moment, we certainly haven't established that gig economy workers are employees. Employees under law is a particular definition of a worker who has a kind of a long-term continuing relationship with the one employer. And those people, as we know, have rights under the Fair Work Act to minimum wages, annual leave, protection from unfair dismissal and those kinds of things. Gig workers are more likely in our system to be treated as independent contractors, which basically means they're a self-employed person and they take responsibility themselves for deciding whether they're being paid enough under their contract. They take the risk that they may never get another gig if somebody doesn't like their work. They have to cover their own time off. They won't get paid leave.
So in terms of the vulnerabilities in the labour law, you were speaking there as well. I mean, I guess about the fact that people can choose and take responsibility for making sure they're paid enough. Is this a system that is open to being abused?
Well, look, I've all been concerned that it is because We've seen the rise of lots of very wonderful, exciting new apps like Airtasker and Uber, and they do provide, you know, this wonderfully flexible service. But what we're seeing is that some people are beginning to think of that as not just a bit of part-time extra work, but as their main job, and invest a lot of time and energy and their own resources in establishing themselves as a worker on one of those platforms, you know, buying a car on lease arrangements, for instance, to be an Uber driver. And once somebody makes that kind of commitment, they do become quite vulnerable because they need that job to provide a regular income to pay their expenses. And that's where this notion that they're just a contractor doing one gig after another with no security can become a problem.
So as this type of work does get more popular, do you think that the laws surrounding them are going to need to be looked at again?
Look, I think they are, and I think the main thing that's going to need to be looked at is a complaints mechanism. At the moment, little article I put in the conversation shows that we do have laws that protect people from unfair contract terms under our competition and consumer laws and under special laws to do with independent work contracts. But the problem is, how does the Uber worker or the Airtasker person who perhaps didn't get paid for their work or has some particular problem, how do they actually access a complaint? That's where I suspect that we really need a particular sort of small complaints type of tool that we do in, say the telecommunications industry has an ombudsman where if you have a real problem with your telecommunications provider and you just can't work it out, you can make a quick complaint and have that dealt with properly. We probably need something like that for gig workers so that they've got an easy mechanism for bringing forward a complaint that they didn't get paid or they got unfairly blocked from a site or their pay wasn't, you know, what they had agreed that it should be or that there's been a variation of the pay rates without consulting them. Some other kind of unfairness has happened to them. What they really need is a way of bringing forward a complaint and having it addressed by, you know, a watchdog type of person who makes sure that the industry of gig work is operating fairly.
Do you think that there's any chance that we'll see something like that happen in the near future?
I think Look, I don't know how we'd call what we'd call near. I think that as soon as you have a lot of people affected by a problem, you begin to see some pressure build up. And one of the things I've seen is that over the last year or so, there have been demonstrations in places like New York of drivers for these various transport apps when the app provider has suddenly cut the rate and the drivers all get, you know, collectively unhappy about that and join together and demonstrate. Similar things you see occasionally happening. I think there was news about it happening in parts of Europe as well. We had some news in the paper last year about an Uber driver who was sort of sacked unceremoniously and it hit the press. As soon as you begin to get a number of complaints and a large number of people are affected, then you see some impetus to try and find a solution, because the industry itself usually wants to find a solution, because it's not good for the reputation of the app and the various platform controllers to have these kinds of problems constantly coming up as bad stories. It's good for them to have a mechanism for complaints to be resolved efficiently and cheaply and out of the public eye.
Well, Joellen, hopefully we do see something like that sooner rather than later. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Most happy to, Tess.